Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Thank you for doing that. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we've got Randall Lane on the show. Randall is a new friend. And Randall was a journalist by profession, an entrepreneur by choice. He started and built and ran and a number of media properties. He was a small business owner in a big business world. And he's got a story to tell that I think you're going to be fascinated with. His media companies rode the wave in the last decade with Wall Street and went down when Wall Street went down. And he's lived to tell about it, and he's written a book about it. And the book is called The Zeros, My Misadventures in the Decade Wall Street Went Insane. Randall Lane, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book, but I'm not going to congratulate you on why you had to write the book. So you're a small business owner. You still are. You have been, I guess, all your professional life, but you were living, operating, making your living in a world that was just kind of out of control. Talk to the audience about that. Tell us where you started.
Well, it was I kind of stumbled into it. I started a company called Double Down Media, which was we put out magazines and websites, very glossy.
When that was in the late 90s?
I started a business in the 90s called actually started a magazine called POV, which was a men's business magazine, and
we ran
that. We were Adweek's startup of the year in 1997, and we had a very good run. But we blew up with the .com bubble. So
right.
That was, you know, as any good small business owner, entrepreneur, you do what you do, which is you dust yourself off and
yep.
You do it again.
Get back up on the horse.
Correct, sir. So early 2000s, or the zeros, as I call the decade, saw this opportunity and met this very rich trader named Magnus Greaves, who lived in London and ran a small trading company that was growing very fast. He actually went from 5 employees to 550 in the matter of a couple of years because
wow.
He was somebody who really tapped in. Here's another entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Who tapped into the idea that trading, which was always men, and it was men sitting in physical trading pits, was the way of the past, and people sitting in front of computers trading, as they call it, electronic trading.
Right.
Although it's really more
flash trading.
Correct. Was the way of the future. So he wound up just rolling up all these kind of traders who were kicked off the physical floor and was being very successful. And he had this idea, if I can make money as a trader, and I can make a lot of money with 550 traders under me, how much can I make if I connected every trader in the world?
Wow.
And that was the idea of the media company. He found me as somebody who would...
So you were gonna be the nexus between him and all these people through your media platforms.
Correct. So he didn't know anything about media, but he knew a lot about trading.
Right.
I knew a lot about media, but nothing about trading. So
mm-hmm.
We got together. It was a very good match. And within a couple of years, we kind of kicked around looking for money. And then, I helped do business plans, and we just went and fundraised. And finally, he started to like the idea so much, he just started funding it himself.
Ah.
And so off we went with Double Down Media, and we had a magazine called Trader Monthly. We started Deal Maker for private...
At what point in time did you start making money yourself? Did you start being able to take a decent living out of the business?
When it was about a year and a half of really kind of skunk work, where at first he paid me as a consultant and said, I'm just going to develop this idea. You're going to be my consultant. Teach me media. And then
at that moment, you didn't own the properties then, did you?
Correct. He hired me as a consultant.
Right.
And then after a couple of months, I did what I do, which is I fell in love with it as well. And
right.
I said, listen, Magnus, instead of me helping you develop this idea that you're then going to get somebody else to do, some other media company, let's start our own media company. Let's go in 50-50,
mm-hmm.
and I'll run it, And yet, as he put in money, he would get more equity. So it wasn't, you know, it was very, that encouraged me to run as lean a shop as possible.
Right.
More money.
So then you started focusing on equity and not so much on income.
Correct.
And which is what all small business owners do.
That's right. At that point, I took no money.
Right.
And then once we kind of were up and running, maybe a year later, we agreed that I would take a salary only equal to what I needed just for the bare minimum, no money in the bank.
You were still driving your Subaru, weren't you, at that point?
That's correct. I was driving a 97 Subaru Outback, which was had about 100,000 miles, and I, you know, it got me around.
But you were rubbing elbows with multimillionaires.
Well, all of a sudden, multimillionaires, I wish. It was multi-billionaires.
Hold on to that thought, Brandon. We've got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back. This is a fascinating story, and it just gets better. Randall Lane is our guest. He's the author of the new book. It's an exciting new book. You're going to see it a lot of places. The Zeros. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I don't care.
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff there. Don't forget to take the poll question right there on the homepage, you will be able to see immediately when you take the test, take the question. We just put it up. When you take that, you'll be able to see what's going on, what the results are, and how you stack rank with everybody else. Randall Lane is our guest, folks. Randall's a new friend. He's the author of The Zeros, My Misadventures in the Decade Wall Street Went Insane. And Randall, you were telling us about your media company, your small business media company, how you got it started with your investor partner, Magnus. What was his last name again?
Greaves.
Magnus Greaves. And so you grew this property, these properties, you had two or three magazines that you were doing, and they were all focused on the very rich, high-flying, risk-taking Wall Street crowd. And you had to play in that world, didn't you?
To play in that world, you know, making what those guys make in a day, which, you know, that's okay because I really thought that I'd found the ultimate market for a company, which is these are people, you know, the slogan of our first magazine, Trader Monthly, was see it, make it, spend it. It was the ultimate consumer in that they made insane amounts of money, and part of the ethos of being a trader was spending it as fast as you make it, because the next day you just buy more. They were detached from the idea that you work hard and you reap from that. It was all like it was a Las Vegas mentality.
Which brings me to one of my first question, I guess, Randall. I believe there are two things that are going on in Wall Street right now that may become the enemies of Wall Street. I'm sorry, the enemies of capitalism. And one is focusing on trading instead of investing. Is the trading mentality going to wind up becoming the enemy of capitalism?
It already is. I mean,
isn't that something that we should be concerned about?
It absolutely is let's do a real quick history lesson, which is even 10 years ago, certainly 20, 30 years ago, listen, traders were doing something very noble for the capitalist system, which is they were creating liquidity.
Making markets.
They were making markets.
Yeah.
And they were allowing small business owners, as they got very successful, take their companies public and get liquidity.
Right.
They were supplying the lifeblood of capitalism. Most of them were sitting in physical pits, trading, you know, and keeping markets efficient.
Right.
What happened in the zeros was, instead of buying, everything that people were trading until the last 10 years had an underlying value. If you bought
some intrinsic value.
Correct. Somebody, if you bought a share of General Electric, there was a share behind it. If you bought or sold some oil futures or some oil, there was a tanker of oil somewhere technically, theoretically, you were going to take ownership of, although, of course, you would sell it before you ever actually had to pick up your giant barge of oil.
Right.
What happened was that the futures, literal futures and derivatives took over, where people stopped buying and selling tangible assets, and they started buying and selling what the price of those assets
right.
would be at a fixed moment in time.
So right.
instead of buying and selling assets, they were gambling on price movements. And that and that's why
and
you
which,
had
which did
trillions
nothing.
And trillions of dollars now all of a sudden being created and being bid on nothing on math.
And it was strictly gaming the system to create fees, not to create any value of any kind.
That's correct. And the ultimate, you know, the most beautiful three words on Wall Street for the last decade were the initials were OPM.
Right.
Other people's money.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's how you made money, is getting other people to give you money and then just betting it.
And so all that crashed in 08, starting in 07 and then in 08. That all came down around their ears. And then the government bailed them out.
Yep.
And now they're back. Are they back doing exactly what they were doing before?
They're back to nothing.
Has anything changed, Randall, on Wall Street, basically?
Yes. One thing has changed. You don't flash it anymore.
Right, yeah.
What you do is you still make it, and the bonuses are...
They're still making the money. I heard recently that the 09 bonus pool was the same as the 07 bonus pool.
That's right, and that's...
100 billion.
That's actually...
100 billion. That's just the bonuses, my friends.
That's right.
Did I read in your book that the average Wall Street employee, all the way down the line to the people who drove the sedans, did I hear that the average bonus, if you average it out, was $750,000?
At Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs at one place? 600, 700,000.
That's correct. Which is
secretaries, the whole thing.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Every cafeteria worker, everybody.
Unbelievable.
Of course, they're not getting the bonuses. The guys at the top are getting 10, 20, 50.
Right.
We had a fight with Goldman Sachs because one of the things we did was we kept score. We were the scorekeepers for Wall Street, and we kept score of the money. And they would threaten to sue us every year because we would print how much the Goldman guys were making. They had one guy in 2005, we were the first ones to report, they paid their first $100 million bonus. Now, this is not even the CEO. This is just a regular trader who happened to be making the firm billions of dollars.
Right.
And they had to, they had to pay him because he was bringing the firm so much money.
Right.
That's why the system was so dangerous, because you had these guys who were creating so much profit for the bank, and they had to be paid so much, but they were doing it trading on, trading your money, my money.
Right. And you, and your
gambling, as opposed to...
And your magazines were reporting this, and you were part of all this. You got caught up in all this.
We were enabling it. I mean,
But you went down with it too, didn't you? When things went down, you went
crushed.
Down. You lost everything at that point, didn't you?
Well, because what happened was...
Yeah, hold on, Rand. I got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to give you the rest of that story right after these messages. 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingham. The book is called The Zeros. Randall Lane is the author, and he's our guest. Welcome back to 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingham. Thanks very much for staying with me. Have a great visit with our new friend Randall Lane. He's soon to be an old friend, because we're going to get him back on the show to talk to us about the very important topic that he covers in his book, The Zeros, My Misadventures in the Decade of Wall Street Went Insane. Randall Lane. Randall, tell us how we can find your book and how we can find you online.
Well, you can find it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.com. Read Indie Band, the whole work. My website's randalllane.com, and I also write for the Daily Beast website, Tina Brown's website.
And that's Randall with two L's, Lane with one L, and L-A-Y-L-A-N-E, by the way, L-A-N-E. Randall, you were telling us about, I asked you about, you built your company up, and you were rocking and rolling, you were spending a lot of money, you were courting these multi-million billionaire people on Wall Street. You were living. You were giving them the perks that they demanded to allow you to grow your media properties, your magazines. But then when it crashed and it came down around everybody's ears, you crashed too. Tell us what happened.
Well, what happened was I bought into the ethos that I was covering. Instead of I've written about small business. I've started two companies that both got to past $10 million in revenue. So, in theory, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
But in reality, I drank the Kool-Aid like everybody else. I could not help it. I'd like to think I would be cynical enough not to, but I was sitting there and not thinking, hey, let's incrementally add, let's incrementally grow. I was thinking, let's get big fast. And so what happened was when my, you know, my first investor kind of, you know, reached his limit, we had a second investor, and but before that, you know, he kind of reached his limit, and I had to start. There were a couple times where we were growing so fast, and we didn't have any cash, so I had to start putting in all my money to cover payroll, knowing that we were doing something really good and something big. Once I put, you know, I put in $250,000 of my own money. Once we hit that, we got another investor, but the new investor didn't want me to take my money out, which again, I got because you know, everybody wants to get in the game.
Right.
I had sweat equity. Now I had all my liquid cash in there. Mm-hmm. He loved that, the new investor, because he thought that would keep me motivated.
Right.
He was very right. And so what happened was it kept growing and growing. We went up to, we started a third magazine, a fourth magazine, a fifth magazine, a sixth magazine, websites for all of them, 100, you know, through 100 parties over the last 2 to 3 years where we would have these live events and we would charge sponsors for these live events.
Right.
We went global, London, Dubai. We just wanted to become a billion-dollar company.
Right.
And then when the market crashed, starting around, you know, summer of 2008, started to get a little rocky, and then the fall of 2008, our revenue just started disappearing.
Forget revenue.
Doubling and doubling and doubling every year, and then all of a sudden it was like...
Nobody would return your calls then, right?
Not only... people were returning our calls and saying, not only... We had companies like BMW... that we'd sold. We actually had events where the traders would buy cars right at the party. We'd introduce a new car. I mean, it was insane. We were the best media partner they had, and they admitted that. And they came to us and said, well, we got to cut our budget with you. We got to cut it out. We're like, what are you talking about? You've told us we're the best media company in the world for you guys. And they said, yeah, here's the problem. Not only do we not want to advertise, we can't be seen advertising to your guys.
Right.
We can't even be seen, even though we're. And that's when I knew we were in big trouble.
Yeah.
But by that time, I personally guaranteed the lease. And so I had to choose between making payroll and paying the rent. So I started making payroll and started incurring debts on personal guarantee on the lease. I started making more loans to the company just to get us to a fire sale that never came.
Not knowing when to get out.
No, sir. And not knowing, you know, and you get so addicted to your own business that you don't realize.
That's the story small business owners are facing a lot right now and have been over the last couple of years, is when do I got a chance to fight? When do I have a fighting chance, and when do I just have a chance to fight?
Yeah.
And that's what you were up against.
That 6 months fighting.
And so now you've recovered. You're back on your feet. You're writing. You're doing the thing that you did to start with. You've written. You got an outstanding book, The Zeros, folks. I recommend it to you. It's fascinating. You're gonna really appreciate what the honesty and the courage that Randall put into this book. Randall, I do admire you, and I congratulate you on having the courage to tell, you know, the warts and all kind of a story. And will you come back another day? I've got a lot more questions to ask you.
Sure. Anytime.
I've got another thing that I think is the enemy of capitalism that's happening on Wall Street. I want to talk to you about that next time. But basically, you agree with me that Wall Street is the tail wagging the Main Street dog, don't you?
Main Street is driving the jobs, and Wall Street right now is the one who cost us jobs.
Yeah.
So it's very scary time, and I hope we get it right.
Hey, Randall, thanks for being here. Good job. The book is called The Zeros, and Randall Lane is the author. We'll see you next time, Randall.
Forward to it.
You got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.